Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs. My name is Gareth Armstrong. It's good to be with you here on CliffCentral.com. What do we do here on the show? Well, we bring the best and brightest into studio so that we can learn from them. And I'm really excited to have Wayne, you're in studio here today. It's good to have you. Welcome to Cliff Central and welcome to the Future CEO show.
Hi, Gareth. Thank you for having me on the show.
Now, you're in a very, very interesting space. I think I'm going to say marred by words like innovation and AI and blockchain. I use the word marred specifically because these words have some real value, but then also because of people trying to take advantage of some of these things, they can also be confusing and frustrating to many.
Yes, I think a lot of these buzzwords are, you know, go around and everyone rides on the buzzwords and they come and go through phases. And yeah, a lot of what we do is fills the gap in a lot of those words and stuff you mentioned previously. But for us, really, we're looking at solving business problems and solving or building businesses with technology. And I think that's the basis of what we do and the stuff that we're working on currently.
Take 30 seconds and quickly introduce yourself and your business to our Future CEOs community, please.
So my name is Wayne, and I'm the CEO of Blackbeard Technology. And we're a business, a technology business with development at our core. And we look at how do we innovate and solve business problems through technology. So in saying that, we'd look at, you know, where the gaps are in the business, where we can be more efficient, how we can unlock opportunity. How do we future-proof businesses for the coming years in terms of the changes and the rapid change in the market actually out there?
Future-proofing, that's quite a tall order, especially because things are moving so quickly. What are you experiencing out there in the market, especially as, I mean, you've got some big clients in your hat, some nice feathers there. But what are you experiencing around this idea of future-proofing? I don't think you can.
Yeah, no, I think if we look at like a couple of years back, how some businesses that haven't even been thought of that are currently, you know, some of the top leading companies in South Africa and globally. When it comes to future-proofing, I think at the moment it's challenging out there. I think a lot of big corporations are they're unsure of where the future lies and how they're going to innovate. And also the biggest thing is how structured they aren't in terms of how fast they can adapt to change. So agility is quite key in that space. So it's really exciting for us because I think it's not all doom and gloom out there. I think we're literally going in there, we're looking at the problems and we're turning them into solutions, and it's a really cool space and exciting space to be in.
Yeah, well, I think what you haven't mentioned and what I will now mention is a little bit of bragging on your part, which is you've been around for a short period of time, but you already have international operations. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we obviously in Dublin have expanded into the European. We've got a European client, our largest client, and also they're expanding throughout the globe. So keeping up with their demands and needs and scale. And I think with technology, you know, you don't have to be just in South Africa to service international portfolios. Mm. It's just an office, really. And the interesting thing is we're a small company, but we set out with such big aspirations. Our thinking has changed a lot of that. So, yes, a company built and born in South Africa, but, you know, a global positioning and a global business in our minds, and that's kind of where we're going for.
When you started, and if we slow down, we kind of go roll back time a little bit, and we look at the origins of your business. First, I'm very interested in the name Blackbeard, what that is. But when we look at the business and I consider how many businesses, especially today, are sometimes built with the idea of scaling and exiting in mind. What's your origin story?
So I think, you know, I took some time out and looked at the market and looked at kind of where the changes were and challenges were in South Africa and globally, and came kind of through that, a lot of their research and thinking and building that that kind of positioning up, I came to understanding that there's very few businesses or technology companies out there that can deliver quality work and on time. And I suppose in the technical space, it's very challenging. It's not as an architect would build a building, and if one bricks out, the building will tumble in. Whereas technology, we venture into spaces where we don't know and the unknown. When it comes to innovation. So it's how do you build and streamline your processes in order to work in that direction, and also manage expectations and make sure everyone's on the same page, that you're innovating and continuously changing.
So your background is in this. I mean, you've got the lingo. I can hear that you've probably got quite a lot of experience. And so just tell us a little bit about your background, and then how did your own business emerge out of that?
So an interesting story. I started off actually as a graphic designer, from drawing to visual arts drawing to graphic design. And then went through to multimedia, and then shifted again into project management, and then project management more into the business side. So it's quite interesting looking back how what you set out and the direction you're in, how many times you can shift and still land up in the position where you are. But you know, I've always wanted to run a business, manage a business, and make change there. And,
why is that? So you're saying you always wanted to. Why?
Just the need that I've always had. It's an itch that always needed to be scratched from my side.
Okay.
And funnily enough, going back to, in my teens, I would actually met with a very successful businessman. And I said, well, I want to go into business. I want to run business. And he was like, do what you're good at, and that'll come in the future. And followed that advice and went into graphic design and went through that journey, and then into digital marketing, and now really strong into the technology space. So, yeah, exciting journey.
So you're looking around and you're seeing that there are a couple of problems that exist, especially in the space that you're existing. At what point did you say, okay, now I'm going to start Blackbeard?
So I think it's organically kind of came to be, and I think a lot of what we do and what I do is, you know, naturally as things progress, it goes at the right pace and in the right rhythm that it needs to go. So,
is part of the organic journey you were fired and suddenly you decided that you needed to start your own business, or was it just you deciding now it's time?
I think deciding it's now time. It felt like it was the right time for me, the right time in the market for what we're doing. And then again, it's challenging. It has its challenge. We have to innovate and change and relook at our model all the time. Even in a short space of 1 year, we kind of reshifting. We're failing. We're learning. We're changing. We're optimizing. A lot of the failures are great lessons that we apply. Yeah, it's a lot of adapting and changing quite quickly on our side too.
Well, what's the when people hear tech and AI and innovation and blockchain, they can see a whole bunch of people that are so-called thought leaders in this area. What's the difference between you and I won't mention any names, I must admit that I'm fairly critical of these individuals who think that who say that they know a lot but don't put too much skin in the game. You're kind of in the game. Just what's the difference between you and a thought leader who says that they know about these things?
I think, yeah, going back to the beginning with the buzzwords and, you know, standing up and presenting on the topics, and that is all great. But what we actually doing is the nuts and the bolts, and actually doing the work of putting this together and packaging these solutions together. So predominantly at the moment, so many people are pitching ideas to us, and on a daily basis we can be in different kind of sessions where people have got ideas and looking at us to help them build these ideas. So there's a lot of ideas out there in South Africa and globally. There's a lot of money and capital looking for a home in terms of funding these ideas, where the trend is going of incubating startups. But I found there's just very few companies that can build these solutions and actually make them come to life. And that's kind of an interesting space where we're playing. And again, how do we approach that? So instead of, you know, building a Ferrari and we're putting out a Ferrari in market in terms of what the vision is, we start off with a bicycle, then we obviously look at a motorbike and then a car, and we build it as phases and look at like a proof of concept first. How do we quickly get that out? How do we test and trial that? Get user and customer feedback to see what's working and not working, tweak and change again. And it kind of breaks it up, takes the pressure off, but also as again with this, the energy of how it needs to evolve at this right stage in terms of a business or a startup.
Well, let's look at your business through those lenses as well. So what's so interesting is you've got 2 years under your belt. You've got an international presence now. So I'd like us to look at each phase of your business as it currently stands. I mean, it's more or less still a startup, I'm sure, in many, many ways. Let's talk about the first 6 months. What was that experience?
Very blurry.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
It's just doing everything, managing everything, putting it all together. I think looking back, the kind of highlights, lowlights, the biggest challenge was finding the right skills in the people that we needed to put together.
Mm.
And it's not just kind of the skills as well. It's the culturally aligned individuals, people with the same mindset. And it's very difficult to find like, certain kind of talent, and especially in tech space. There's a skill shortage in South Africa globally. So that was the biggest challenge in how do we scale up and how do we build a team as quick as the clients and the demand is coming on from the requirements that they needed and wanted to put together.
I want to stop at this particular juncture, because what we often hear is stories of a very difficult, slow, laborious process of gaining clients, going out, pitching multiple times. But it sounds a little bit different in your situation where, I mean, you even said people coming to pitch ideas to you. Clear the waters for us here. Are you inundated with business? I mean, you don't have enough capacity to service all that's coming at you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're not sitting back and waiting for that business to come to us. We're out there. We're trying to look for where the challenges are and then unlock the opportunities, as I say.
So what's a typical conversation or a typical way that you will – what's your business development cycle?
Yeah, exactly. Or kind of what are your challenges in your business? And, like, I want to understand that. And where do you feel like you're losing revenue? And what are your customers saying? And do you really know what your customers are saying? And can we help you assist in that? And how do we automate this? Or, you know, where you currently are, do you see your business like not succeeding in the future with the kind of smart, innovative solutions and technology out there?
What's so interesting and what again fascinates me, I guess, is the process that you are using to develop business. So is this like a word of mouth referral thing because you guys have done such good work before and people just talk about you? Or, I mean, how did that begin? I'm still not seeing it, but I'm interested.
So as an entrepreneur, you're living the business. When I have this thing, when your eyes are open, you're working, because that's just the reality of how it is. And as you're going along your daily kind of schedule and speaking to people and weekends, you kind of having this in conversation, and one leads to another and to a next. So definitely a word of mouth, and then clients like referring, and just, yeah, the other opportunities unlocking naturally. But again, we go out there and we speak to the individuals. We kind of look for where gaps are and propose solutions for these.
Okay, let's jump back. Let's sort of look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. I want to stop. I want to talk about the name Blackbeard. Where did that come from?
So I think kind of being adventurous and out in sea and pirates and mysterious in rough waters, economy today. So where the global economy is today. But always like having an eye for the gold or the treasure and going out and finding it. So I think that's kind of where the starting of for us was.
Okay. I mean, there's a real good analogy within all of that, and that really describes your business. How often do you get that question, by the way?
So the other question of where the name come from, or a really cool name. So again, like branding is quite key, I suppose, and critical into a business's positioning.
So let's talk a little bit about you and the entrepreneur that you are. So there are different types of individuals and different types of entrepreneurs that really are relevant to different parts of a business's growth and development. Are you a starter? Are you a finisher? Are you a scale guy? Have you figured that out yet? So where do you feel like you fit?
It's a good question. I suppose I haven't figured it out yet. The starting part is what excites me. I think I look at kind of where we can solve the problem, as I said. So, for example, how do we bridge the gap between the deep technology and people or individual businesses understanding and kind of close that gap in so people can understand what's happening and how it all works and comes together. And then again, just starting a business, an opportunity, creating roles and employment and upskilling individuals. yeah, it's when you get into that rhythm, it's just, it's a drug that you just can't get rid of, eh?
Yeah, let's go into your background a little bit. Did you grow up with a family that were entrepreneurial? Where did you pick up the inclination that you have?
Sure. Not as such. I think it's just, even when I was younger, challenging my parents again all the time about, you know, I'm going to run a business and this is what I'm going to do. And they were like, but you're so young and how do you know how to do that? And strong views and opinions on that. I think skills picked up from definitely family. Mother's strong in sales, a people's person. Okay. My father an academic and kind of real focused in the academic side of things. So, and I think that's what everything we do and I do is we pick up different pieces from everywhere and what we watch, what's happening around us, and like use those as tools in terms of how you know that makes sense to you and what you can apply at any day or any stage.
You strike me as someone that's quite intelligent, certainly in touch with who you are. How important is that for you, this idea of self-awareness and self-knowledge? And have you been able to instill that in your team?
So, yeah, that's quite important, I think, to... You know, there's so many people wear these masks in when they go out in the day, and I think for us it's just keeping it real, being nice people and doing good work. And a lot of that actually is where the opportunity comes from, is just being genuine and being honest and saying, you know, actually we totally disagree about that. And it's not about because you want the business or you need business or want to hold on to it. It's really saying it how it is and you know, being open and honest and saying, you know, this is where our gaps are and where we lack skills and what we're looking for. And even if we lack, this is the process on how we're developing those and building that. And I think just that human element, and people in today's day and age appreciate that. And when you have that approach, it's critical, I think.
Well, can you give us some feedback 101 skills here? So what is a way that you deliver that the kind of truth that you're saying is giving you a competitive edge? Because you can't always just say it like it is. I mean, there's a way to deliver something, isn't there?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you have to have tact and, respect. I think if you build it on everything on respect, you know, you have to respect the individual, the situation and where you are, and then be able to, in that secure, safe environment, is give your view and opinion and also listen to what others are saying and where their challenges are. That's where the opportunity comes forth. And then, you know, in our team, making sure that's part of our culture as a business. And no one has fear to say or feel what they want and how they are experiencing their role and their day and all these in our business. And it's quite a unique model. And I say to the staff, you know, you shouldn't feel that any morning you wake up and you have to go to work. And if you're in that space, you're already, we're doing the wrong thing. So let's change that.
Well, as an entrepreneur, certainly in the life of this particular business, if you look back and you reflect on some of the mistakes, the early mistakes, whether it was naive or just foolishness that they came as a result of, what were one or two of those mistakes? And just describe it to us, share a story or two, and then I've got a couple of questions based on whatever you share.
Sure. So I think sometimes too much change can have its toll on individuals. So when you're kind of adapting and you're building so quickly, you have to take people with you on that journey, and staff and kind of anyone who's like with the business or seeing where things are going, because we're moving at such a rate, you know, so it's critical to understand that everyone's on the same boat or moving at the same pace. And so I think that's one of the critical things I've learned is.
So that's what you learned. You must have a story that describes, or you learned that from something. Yeah. Could you have a story for us?
So it's quite funny. So like I kept saying to everyone, well, we need to define our culture and like who we are as a company and what do we stand for? And then like only a couple of months back realized, well, I'm saying that in the four months of being in business. And how do you actually get that kind of out already? Yeah? So it's just the thinking was so further ahead of where the company started out. And I suppose, that kind of probably led us to where we are. But sometimes, as I say, you need to just relax and see where things are actually at that stage.
What's so remarkable about what you're sharing, of course, is the fact that you've experienced the kind of growth that you have. Often some businesses are trying to achieve that kind of growth over a 10-year period. You're doing this in a very short period of time. What have you learned, other lessons that you've learned about growth? So I think what I've heard you say, one of the lessons is that sometimes the business can grow beyond or quicker than your staff are able to change. I think I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
What are a couple of other lessons that you've learned as a result or being in the crucible that is really, really quick growth?
So I think in a business in its early stage, it's a lifeline. It's a living organism, and you know, it's a fine line in terms of where the business is moving in the direction, and you know, it's managing many components within that ecosystem, and from operational to finances to and there's lots of pieces that entrepreneurs and people that are starting up businesses don't know, and they don't realize or would never have seen before until they do that. And there's secrets and tricks on how people can put that together and work that out. Example is, you know, when you start a business, like part of your revenue and profit has got to go to tax. So how do you start putting that aside and putting that away so that you're not utilizing funds that aren't available to you because that needs to be put aside? It's just small pieces and nuances as such that help one on a journey.
How did you help yourself with this kind of thing? Because, of course, I'll share it this way. I was with the head of a growing part of a large major bank a few years ago, and he described it as a crisis of confidence, which is not that he didn't know how to do his job, but rather that he found a piece of some new territory where he just didn't quite have the confidence necessary to move with a certain kind of surety or confidence into that area. How have you dealt with these points of lack of confidence? Or where did you learn these secrets that you're describing?
So I think a lot, you know, you learn lessons as you fail and you make those kind of, you know, bad or right decisions, and you learn from them is one. And the other is watching things around you and watching companies and individuals and where you've worked and past experience that kind of makes up this, kind of builds that picture for us to make decisions on a daily basis. Consulting to businesses prior to Blackbeard as well, seeing where their challenges were and like kind of how that fitted together. So, you know, it's looking at the pain points, and that's why I say, like, looking at the negative side, but, you know, turning it into a positive and understanding and using that information.
There's an interesting, and I picked up on something that you said there. There's an interesting quote which goes, "There are many eyes that look, but only few that see."
Yeah.
And so I'm interested in understanding how you view the world. So when you're looking at something, how are you actually viewing it? What are some of the questions that you're asking in the background that are potentially different to the questions that the rest of us ask? Certainly probably me. Maybe I'm not asking the right questions and you're seeing something different. But that's because you're asking the right questions. What are the top three questions you'd be asking in any typical situation?
So where are the blockages? What are your challenges? What are the opportunities that could alleviate those? And sometimes it becomes an obsession in terms of certain things and the way they work and how you want to, how your experience in terms of how those need to be resolved. And there are many examples of that in terms of as an individual or a customer and, you know, the way the customer's experience is and how we can better that and enhance that.
Well, I mean, what I've heard from you throughout the conversation, and we are now almost running out of time. I told you off air that it was going to move very quickly, and I think it has. But what I've heard you say, whether out loud or not, because I've been watching your body language and everything as well very carefully, is that you need to find solutions. And so I've seen how you've set up at certain moments in this interview to speak about certain things. And what it appears to be, or what's coming across quite apparent, is that you're a problem solver. and you like problem solving. You're a puzzle guy. I don't know what you do in your spare time and as hobbies, but you're a problem solver. Yes.
Yeah. I think definitely problem solver, and then committing to delivery on whatever solution we're looking at providing.
Okay, so it's problem solving plus a commitment to delivery, and you did say this right in the beginning of the conversation, which was delivery on time.
Yeah.
And probably there's a number of other things that we can bolt on there, but problem solving, delivering on time. If those are the two lessons that I've taken from you today, this has been a really good conversation. I want to ask one.
And also just to add on that is problem solving, delivering on time in a not so perfect world.
Okay.
Which has a different complexity altogether.
It does have a very interesting complexity. Just by the way, on the idea of complexity and something being complicated or difficult, I was sitting with quite a highly regarded, well-known individual the other day. I won't embarrass them and probably hash the me quoting them, so then they don't want me to let everyone know who it was. But he was just talking about the difference between complexity and something that's complicated. And he said a complex environment, and I think this is the environment that you're working in, must be looked at, and stealing a word that you used earlier, it must be looked at as an ecosystem rather than a map that you can decipher, something that is fairly
linear,
flat and linear. Yeah, exactly. So rather look at something as an ecosystem. I think today what I've learned from you, and in your rise from small startup to international business, is that you're doing that. You're able to find opportunities in an ecosystem. Why? Because you're asking the right questions, how to solve problems, but then part of what really is a business is not just solving problems, but delivering on time. Wayne, thank you for a really good conversation. So we've run out of time.
Amazing. And thank you, Gareth, for having me on the show.
I do want to ask you one last question, and maybe you can summarize in one line and take us home with this. So, and we ask this to every one of our guests that come into studio. If you could go back in time and talk to the young future CEO you, the 20-year-old you, what would you say to yourself?
Have fun, don't take things too seriously, scratch the itch that you have. Follow your passion, yeah?
Okay, scratch your itch, have fun. And I want to also add one thing that you said earlier, be a nice guy. You're a really nice guy. It's been a pleasure being with you here today, Wayne. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be back with you after this break. And we're going to be talking coding and how here, certainly in Africa, there's this opportunity to skip a number of steps and join all of those who are on this technological rise and on a wave that is perhaps not even close to cresting yet. And so that really what that tells us is there's opportunity. We're going to be talking coding after this break.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.